Hello and welcome, bonjour et bienvenue. This is the Community Trail Running Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lee. Thank you for joining me once again. So many podcasts out there, and I so appreciate you spending a little bit of your time with me. This is episode 93. We're past 6 months solid of a show every week. And over that time, someone is downloading an episode of Community Trail Running every 28 minutes, which is pretty hilarious to think about. I love it. Thank you all so much for the support. And I'm so excited for this week. We have Attitude Over Altitude coach Jody Delk on the podcast. Another great Calgary guest who was a ton of fun to chat with. I'm getting more and more excited each and every week as we get closer to our Alberta screenings of the Trail Running Film Festival. And guests like Jody hype me up even more. Those screenings start Tuesday, June 4th in Edmonton. We're in Calgary Wednesday, June 5th, Canmore Thursday, June 6th, and Crow's Nest Pass Friday, June 7th. Tickets to all the shows are available in the show notes or on my social media bio links. You can find them real easy, I promise. We'll have giveaways, we'll have special guests in Edmonton and Calgary, the fantastic films, of course, and the chance to hang out and celebrate our amazing sport together. It's an incredible time, and I'm honored to be coming to hang out in Alberta with all of you, my friends. I can't wait to see you all. And I also can't wait any longer to share this great chat with Jody. Let's go. Today's guest is trail runner and Attitude Over Altitude coach Jody Delk. Jody calls Calgary, Alberta home. That's where he joins us from today. Jody, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Happy to finally be here, Adam.
Yes, absolutely. The time has come. We're excited to hear some more about you. Let's start at the very beginning. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and how trail running came into your life.
For sure. Well, I grew up in central Alberta, and we had a running coach in our school who was just very keen on providing as many experiences as he could for athletes. And so he would drive the buses out to Five Peaks or Frank McNamara cross country races in Edmonton. And he just really was kind of pushing for like a lot of community type events where we were seeing what was beyond the school sporting competitive side of sport is what kind of what I maybe am reflecting on more as I look back on what he kind of provided for us. But yeah, our coach Steve Searle was just like pretty instrumental in showing us the running community, and we really were pumped on it. And then I have two older brothers, and we were just very competitive as well in school, cross-country running mainly. So that kind of translated into trails when we found out about it. Searle actually took some high school kids and entered the death race kind of before we met him. And then so we just saw like the pictures and heard the stories of that, and we were kind of blown away by that. So that was kind of in the back of our minds a little bit. And then I went and ran cross-country in university in Camrose at Augustana. And so I was kind of still in that competitive fast running style, but then my brothers, having been graduated, they kind of slipped into the trail running. And yeah, it's kind of a huge snowball effect. We've kind of put video content up of a lot of what we did as we got more and more into trail running. My first kind of exposure to racing was at Sinister Seven. I got put on a team kind of last minute, and like had a terrible experience running like leg three and experiencing cramping in my legs and like heat exhaustion and so many things that like now it's like I know so much about, but at the time I was like, what is happening? And then I think two or three summers after that, I just heard of the lore of the Canmore Quad because I was working in the Bow Valley, and was like, I had one day off that summer and I was like, I'm gonna do that. So I just like, yeah, wrangled stuff and equipment, found some poles in a running pack. Like I'd never worn a running pack before, and like didn't know the route very well. I like crossed a creek right at the beginning of the day and had wet feet, and it was just like I got caught in like two thunderstorms. It was like a pretty epic kind of intro to the ultra distance of things, but that was also the moment that really kind of got me hooked into it and gave me like the full realization of like our bodies are capable of a little, pretty incredible thing if we just ask it to do that. So I think that's probably as concise as I can be about how I got into it anyway.
Well, I think there's some relatable items in there, especially the sibling rivalry part of it all. Eventually, though, the rivalry subsides a little bit because attitude over altitude is between you and your brothers, is it not?
Yeah, we started it as just a team name when we entered a team ultra, the River's Edge Ultra. I don't remember. I think we had a couple pages worth of names and we settled on that one and just had a great day. And then we decided we liked doing that, so we kept our radar on other things that we could do. And then James is in the graphic world, and so he just did up race singlets for us and some hats, and then we donned the Attitude Over Altitude logo that he designed, and yeah, just had too much fun doing it. And I think the funny thing about Attitude Over Altitude is the name was kind of born out of our desire to be better at that, because we kind of felt like we weren't very good at that. Like it was kind of the early give up me kind of mentality a little bit in some sense. And so we were like, what's a name that and an idea that kind of helps us focused on, pursuing what is just outside of our comfort zone, because it's easy to not want to go there. So we are like, let's, it's got to be something that motivates us. And then if it motivates other people, cool. But we kind of started with what we thought we wanted to kind of personify and express in our running. So that's where we got that name.
Like a hype mantra.
Yeah, exactly.
When did the coaching thing start to make sense to you? How did that come about?
Fairly organically, I was involved with volunteer coaching in my undergrad. I coached cross country skiing and the local high school cross country team in running. And I was teaching climbing and got involved with just volunteering and coaching. And then after I graduated and moved to Calgary, I was instructing and coaching snowboarding at the ski hill here in town and cross country skiing at the outdoor center and teaching canoeing and kayaking. And so I was very involved in that kind of work anyway. And then the pandemic made all that programming stop. And so that's when I was like, well, this is kind of just a natural opportunity to like try out coaching online and seeing what that's like and applying all the knowledge and skill that I have and experience into work when my work got canceled. So that's it just kind of happened.
That the pandemic made a lot of things just kind of happen, but thankfully, I think for a lot of us, how has it been going since? Is it something that you're enjoying working with athletes like that?
Yeah, that's the my favorite part of it for sure. I have found out that I'm not a very motivated business person, which is keeping the business very small, which is fine and for me because my favorite part of it is coaching individuals. And if I was just running the back end of things and hiring coaches to do that part, I think I would be pretty unfulfilled in what I was doing. So right now I have another job on the as well. I'm roofing and exterior work, and then still have a few athletes that I'm coaching. So yeah, I think the part that I enjoy the most about it is like seeing athletes through from goal creation to, looking at a year plan and then getting into the nitty-gritty of individual workouts and what systems they're working on to develop your aerobic and develop your muscular that you need for the demands of whatever your goal is, if it's a trail race, road race, whatever the case. So yeah, I love that whole process of it. And the business side of it is like, I could take it or leave it.
I was going to ask what the most challenging part of being a coach is, but it sounds like it's the business side for you. And is there something particular about the business side that you just don't have the time for? Is it like the self-promotion, or is it just that the working with athletes is so much more fun, you wish you didn't have to do the rest of it?
I do think that I have a bit of a problem with that self-promotion piece, like, and it's like, which is, you know, this is why I'm not a good business person, because I it's hard for me to ask for what I'm probably worth, or like, yeah, you know, or just to like seek out acquisition of clients, but not like, I find that often I turn people or like redirect people to coaches that I think would be a better like fit for them. And I'm probably pushing business away, but I don't know. I think that it is just kind of a, I don't know. I don't want to take, I want people's money to be something where they feel like they're benefiting in a way that's amplifying and making their life better. And I don't want to just be, you know, a transaction that may or may not help. So I guess, I don't know if that answers that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a thing that a lot of us struggle with, is putting value on yourself. But I can tell you from the other people that I've heard that they certainly value your input, and I think they think you're worth every single penny of it. So, be proud of what you're doing.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Own it. Own it. You're kicking ass, and that's okay. It's okay to kick ass. Speaking of moments in kicking ass, I'm wondering if you reflect if there are any moments that make you particularly proud of being a coach.
That's a great question. It's a pretty extensive list, and I haven't coached that many athletes like individually. There's a lot of goals that people have when they hire a coach is they want to not be injured and still want to do the thing, the cool trail races or trail routes, you know, whatever they've dreamt up. And one that really sticks out to me, and it was one of my first athletes. Her name is Ty. She went down to Chile and ran the Cerro Castillo trail, is like 50, just under 50 kilometers, I think, in Patagonia. And it's like the photos, if you just Google Cerro Castillo, is like crazy. There's like a glacier and a huge alpine lake, and the trail is like huge mix of terrain and skills that you need for it. And that was like the first thing that I was helping her prepare for, coming from training in Lloydminster is where she's based, and then going down there and her completing that was just like, that was the one that I felt really proud of her effort and just the fact that I was able to kind of get her there. And now she's moving on to bigger and greater trails and things like that. So exciting too, when you are guiding someone to something really hard and they do it and then they don't like, or, and they're excited for more, you know, that's an exciting feeling as a coach when, and it's not to say that when people have a goal and they go do it and they finish it and they're happy and they're like, thank you for your help for getting me to do this. That feels good too, but, it is really exciting when someone's just like keen to keep going. So I think that one is one that comes to mind right away. And then there's a lot of little ones, like little moments of pride, I guess, that happen on a small scale, but just weekly, with the Pain Train Run Collective, where it's like, I just see these athletes doing these workouts week by week and I see the improvements, and often they don't really see it. but it's a really cool experience for me to be like guiding them through the workouts and then seeing that fitness develop or the skill develop on technical trails or whatever it is, and be able to let them know like, hey, by the way, you're really improving. And then sometimes people just don't know until they're told. So that's another area where it's smaller doses, but I feel like it's like more direct impact or direct feedback that what I'm doing is like helping someone grow as an athlete or as a trail runner.
It's like your own little version of The Sims, you know, your little characters are building up while you get to watch them.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would say I'm that much of a puppeteer, but I do encourage people to use their free will and, you know, not just have me be their slave driver at the workouts. We try to keep it fun.
I've heard good things about the Pain Train as well, which is in Calgary. I'm wondering, living in Calgary there, what's your favorite part about being a trail runner in that area of the world?
Oof. I think I do most of my running by myself. And so I only get like the community side of trail running, which I mean, I think everyone agrees that's the best part of trail running. I mean, you have a whole podcast kind of dedicated to bringing that to light. Yeah, I think in Calgary, this is the case for a lot of kind of the metropolitan areas in Western Canada that also have lots of green space, is the mountain bike communities are kind of like, it seems nowadays they're less outspoken, or maybe it's just because I'm more focused on trail running that I don't really see that world, but they do so much work developing trails and building trails and maintaining them. And then as a trail runner, you benefit directly from that. So, I mean, kind of a shout out to the biking community, honestly, because in the winter, you know, the fat bikes get out on the trails and they just make the snow covers up the routes, and it's kind of the butteriest single track trails that you can ever run on. And then we have that in West Bragg, just outside of the city as well. So I think one part of trail running that I like is it's just kind of the mix of, you know, trail sharing. And you're experiencing it in a different way than other people, but it's like Calgary is a big, like a giant community. And it kind of just links you to other outdoor enthusiasts when you're, you know, moving off to the side and waving them through and giving them a hoot and a holler when they get some air time, or, you know, I think just that shared space aspect of it, I really like. And I think I mentioned that because it's what I experience the most because I run by myself a lot. So there's all those just little moments of passing by people walking their dog on the same trail or biking or, you know, whatever the case is. So that's kind of maybe one of the bigger things that I really enjoy about it. As far as like volume of enjoyment, that probably happens the most, but the peak enjoyment moments are Thursday nights at Pain Train for me, for sure. And then any event that you go to and you just see all the faces that you know and catch up and chat about what route and what rock you like got tripped up by or had fun jumping over during the trail run or a race or whatever it is.
It's that rock around the corner after that kind of weird tree, you know?
Yeah. And they'll know what it is too. You'll describe, you're like, hey, remember about like 1/3 in where there was like that sharp left kind of like down through the gap and then back up through those trees, and there was that rock that was like right in the middle. Did you stub your toe on that? And they're like, yeah. Classic.
Well, where can people shoot the breeze with you on the trails, jump the rocks that are out in the middle of 1/3 of the way through? Give us all the details and where people can follow you and learn more. Sell yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to try and do that. Well, Thursday nights, 6:30 at Angels Cafe in Edworthy Park, I lead a workout. We do run fast and run slow. We do intervals, but it's pretty fun. And that's the main area that you can find me basically on a weekly basis. I'm on social media. I guess I'm on Strava. Instagram. I have a YouTube channel where me and my brothers have made running films through the years. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, they're mostly of us, which kind of gets boring, but I've done a few focused on other people, my good friend Sherry up in St. Albert. So that's a good spot to see some very amateur trail running film. And this spring, you can find me on wherever Ski Uphill is telling me to run up. I'm doing the King of the Hill Challenge this spring. So awesome. You can find me on the routes for each week and hopefully give me some boosts with a high five or a hoot or a holler. Coaching wise, I have an Instagram for that as well, but then we have a website, attitudeoveraltitude.run, and you can kind of see what our coaching offerings are and then get in contact with me too if you're wanting to see what that's all about. I'm looking for guys to, you know, look for a coach. The demo, I'm finding out the guys don't ask for help, which is like,
get out of here.
That's par for the course in so many things, right? Like, but I really enjoy coaching guys because that's my experience. And I'm not saying I can't coach women, but I definitely have less expertise for some of the things specific to them. So if any guys are out there looking to try a bigger challenge this year or a race or something, like, I'll coach you and it'll be great. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Don't be afraid to reach out, whether you're a man or a woman, of course, but
yeah,
Jody's absolutely ready. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. A huge thank you to Jody Doak. A huge thank you to all of you listening. Shout out to race volunteers everywhere. And until next time, I'm Adam Lee, and this is Community Trail Running.